First, obviously, COVID-19 is one of the most important things that we've all been dealing with this year, and that is true for the Fifth Circuit as well. There's been merits issues for the Fifth Circuit, which I'm going to get to in my presentation, but also there's been a lot of technical issues in terms of briefing and oral argument. I want to talk about two of those. First, in terms of extensions of time and other matters like that, my perception as someone who follows the orders of the Fifth Circuit has been that the court has been more solicitous of motions for extension of time and things like that than they are normally. As you all probably know, you can usually get 30 days extension without difficulty. After that, they start getting a little grumpy. I think they're going to let you get a little bit more than normal, so long as you articulate what the COVID-19 problem is for you. They're going to give you some time. Second, in terms of oral argument, there's been a lot of cancellations of oral argument in the Fifth Circuit. The panels are starting to do more and more video arguments now. And so my sense is that the trend line is going back up in terms of getting you to as many arguments as they were doing previously. But I still think that if you did the statistics, which I haven't had time to do, you would come to the conclusion that the circuit is granting fewer arguments right now than it normally does and deciding more on the briefs. One really interesting tidbit and note on this is that there was recently an en banc argument, not in person. Now, those of you who know what a Fifth Circuit en banc looks like, right now there are 16 judges. Even in person, it's unbelievably difficult to navigate because some of the judges are sitting even behind counsel almost. So the court decided not to do that by video, I think wisely. But what they did is they did a take-home exam. They sent questions home to the advocates. You had 24 hours to respond to the questions from the court and a 5-hour rebuttal period. Counsel produced 80 pages of written work in response to that request from the Fifth Circuit, which is astonishing to me. I don't know if they're going to do that again. I have no inside information on whether the court found that useful or not, but it's certainly an unusual thing to have happened as a result of COVID-19. The second big theme I want to talk about is learning about our new judges. As many of you will know, we have 5 new Fifth Circuit judges. They've been there for a couple of years now. We have one more, Corey Wilson, who's in the confirmation process right now. And I think people who work in the Fifth Circuit often are going to be thinking about how these new judges think, how they reason, how they act in oral argument. And we're learning a lot about them as we watch them over the years. I'm not going to take a position on this, but I will note that there are commentators who say that the new judges are different in sort of temperament and in style of interpretation from even the judges appointed by previous Republican presidents. You know, that may be true, that may not be true, but it's something for you to look at as an advocate who practices in the Fifth Circuit. What kind of arguments are you making to these new judges? Finally, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the Fifth Circuit retains a really high national profile. That's partly due to the fact that it represents Texas, and you know, Texas is a big state. We've got a lot of people, a lot of legal problems. But it's also true that you know the Texas Attorney General and Solicitor Generals are quite aggressive in terms of protecting Texas's prerogatives as they see them. So a lot of important cases come through here on abortion, on COVID-19, on other high political valence topics. And so they end up in the Supreme Court. So the Fifth Circuit has a huge profile among appellate practitioners around the country in terms of the percentage of the Supreme Court's time that is taken up with appeals that come through the Fifth Circuit. But let's go on to my actual presentation about the most interesting cases of the year. I have to warn you, I'm doing this as a top 10 because we all miss sports, but I have to warn you, the top 10 that I picked are sort of esoteric in the sense that it's what I think are most interesting. I have many more cases in the paper. So if you want to look at what I think the top 30 or whatever cases are, that's where to go look. But I'm doing 10 today, just in terms of time. So let me start with number 10, Latiole v. Huntington and Gallus Inc. This is a case about what's called federal officer removal. Now, you may think that's removing federal officers from their job. It's not. What I mean is removing a case from state court to federal court when it involves a federal officer. And very importantly, I want to remind you that that does not mean literally someone who works for the United States federal government. It also covers people who are contractors for the federal government, other people connected to the federal government. So it actually captures a wide range of cases. And in the Fifth Circuit has held historically that when you sue a federal officer of that kind, in order to remove from state to federal court, the officer has to articulate a causal nexus between your allegations and what the person does for the federal government. But in 2011, the statute was amended to broaden the scope of removal. But the Fifth Circuit kept saying, because of the rule of orderliness, in other words, the rule that you have to follow previous precedent, that this causal nexus still applied. This year, the Fifth Circuit took that issue en banc in Latiole and held that the 2011 amendment changed the landscape of this. And now you only need to prove that the allegations are related to the federal role that the person who you're suing was undertaking. Now, that's a pretty significant change in how these cases are going to work. So the lesson to take from this for your practice is if you are suing someone or defending someone who has some kind of federal connection, you are very likely to be able to remove that case to federal court, whereas under the previous test, the causal nexus test, you would not have been able.